Welcome to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast, where I interview some of the best coaches in the business to find their secrets and share them with the world. I'm Scott Rittheimer, founder and CEO of Scale Architects, and we help founders and leaders find the right coach at the right time so they can achieve the predictable success they deserve. And a huge part of that is helping great coaches do great work that creates enormous demand for their services with way less effort. If you're a high demand coach, I'd absolutely love to share your story and expertise as well. So stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Secrets of the High Demand Coach. And I'm here with yet another high demand coach. I would say we're going to be generous with the word coach, but every bit as applicable with someone who's just going to have a profound impact on your journey as a founder and entrepreneur. It is the one, the only John Hannum. Now, John is the founder and CEO of PPS Solutions PC, which provides fractional CFO services and full service accounting and finance services to growing businesses. With a 25 plus year background in the corporate finance world, as well as CFO of companies with phenomenal growth trajectories, he now focuses by bringing the financial firepower that's commonly employed by large successful companies and making it available to smaller growing businesses that need it most. He's skilled in using financial data to drive process efficiency throughout the organization and designing and implementing financial reporting and highlighting areas that need focus. Well, John, so excited to have you here. Excited to have you on the show. I've got so many questions. I don't know that we're going to get to half of them. But before we jump into any of that, I'd love to hear a little bit. How do you go from being in kind of the corporate world to diving into the world of entrepreneurs?
That's a great question, Scott. Thanks for having me, first of all. It's kind of an accident for me. I had always kind of considered that I would go and do some challenge and build some company into its next stage of growth and then go on to the next one and do something similar and just keep having one company at a time. I had never really considered working for smaller entities. And early 2020 wasn't really the time to find a new job. I had left a construction company that we had taken public a little bit earlier and thought few dozen options out there for new companies, but I'm going to hold for a couple of weeks and see what this COVID thing, when that blows over. During that time, I kind of said yes to a couple of friends who had businesses and needed some help and kind of quickly realized that there's a huge piece missing in most smaller companies, growing companies, entrepreneurial companies. People make decisions as entrepreneurs, make decisions that aren't really in their best interest. No reasonable CFO of a larger company would allow some of that craziness. And while gut instinct and good decision making is key, I really wanted to bring that financial aspect to that. So we were making good, solid decisions based on solid data. So I just decided to start working for two or three companies at the same time rather than one, and that spawned into the idea of doing this as a fractional CFO and dividing my time among many companies. A little bit different than consulting for my taste. We don't use the C word at PPS, but we do kind of act as the CFO for those multiple companies, which I think makes us ingrained in the team and really part of that coaching atmosphere within the company.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that. It was one of the things I saw as I was doing some research for the episode is you make a distinction between fractional CFOs and consultants. And so you mentioned the C word there. What's the big difference between the way that you approach your work as a fractional CFO and a more traditional consulting approach?
Sure. I mean, consultants are really valuable tools that you can kind of unleash on different spaces, different ideas. When you need a consultant to come in and kind of advise you on something, that's great. To me, a consultant is somebody that comes in and tells you what to do, and you have to go do it. A fractional, which is the word that we use, doesn't necessarily do that. We just do the job. you know, a CFO might come in and tell you you should make some recommendations and then leave. That's a consultant. We're very cautious of the language we use in our firm as well. We use we when we talk about both our team and the CFO as embedded within the organization, who is officially a client, but always we. You know, we're just very cautious with that and trying to be part of that team.
And that's such a big deal, because I've found bringing that CFO role into an organization, even if it is someone on the team, there's a natural gap between the way that CFOs think and the way that entrepreneurs think, right? And typically the people that an entrepreneur has surrounded themselves by. And so I think what you're doing there, and I think is what's really important for anyone trying to step into that role, is bridging that gap. Have you seen the same thing? And what are some other ways, if so, that you find yourself bridging the gap between the kind of the entrepreneurial mindset and the skills needed from a CFO?
Sure. I think it's easier to bridge that gap when you understand what the entrepreneur is talking about. You know, some accountants, some people in that space, you know, sit in the corner and do the books, and they understand the books. And every time you give them a question, they're going to think about how that goes into the tax return or what the debit and credit are. And, you know, those are valuable skills, but it doesn't necessarily get you into the trust of the CEO or entrepreneur. So for me, we talk the same language. I have to go into operations a little bit. I have to understand what the company does, how it does it, how it operates. And then once I can demonstrate that that proficiency, I think you earn the trust of somebody that you're trying to give financial advice to. So always in our firm, we think strategic partnership. You know, we support the CEO and the rest of the C-suite, the entire organization. But, you know, it's really about speaking their language and coming to their terms. I can make recommendations all day. I could go and do things you know, in the organization. But unless we really have that partnership with the CEO that allows that relationship to be valuable, you know, you are just the person in the corner kind of making debits and credits.
A lot of times founders will hold their financial data very close to they play the cards very close to their chest, and they don't really let other folks into it. They may be worried about folks knowing what other people make or how profitable they are, or what, for whatever reason. It tends to be one of the last pieces of data that founders share. So why do you think, as a fractional CEO, from your vantage point, why should founders start to open that up to someone like yourself? What are the advantages of bringing someone else into that decision-making circle?
Sure. I mean, most entrepreneurs do think they have to do a lot of things themselves. They have to wear the marketing hat and the finance hat and all the hats at the beginning. And no matter what hat they're wearing, they could wear that hat more closely and better than anybody else, because they understand their business and they understand their vision. So bringing people into that circle really is it's a trust process. You know, I would say it's not unakin to going to the doctor, right? You can talk to your doctor in very real terms, and you can kind of open open the file and talk about the real problems, or you can lie to your doctor and probably not get the best advice. So you really want somebody in that role that you can trust with that information. And, you know, you should probably be guarded with a lot of the information. You don't want all of your financial information out there in the space, right? You don't, not a public company. Nobody's going to read your Edgar. So, you know, keeping people guessing about your finances is just fine, but your CFO can't guess. They can't give you good advice. They can't help you grow unless they really understand where you are and where you want to go.
Yeah, that's so good. So one of the questions that I have for you, let's say we've got a new entrepreneur, their business is growing, things are relatively good. You know, sales are coming in, they're running all over the place trying to keep up. How do they know when it's time to hire a fractional CFO?
I get this question a lot. It's pretty much the question that and what size business do we operate? And that's, you know, every size that doesn't have a CFO. It's about what you want to do. So, you know, I've used the analogy, the corner store probably doesn't need a CFO full time, but the person who wants to build an empire of corner stores and kind of cash out of a corner store empire at the end of their trajectory needs to be talking to somebody at store one. The slice of CFO you need, you know, at the early stages may be kind of episodic or light, and then you know, obviously at some point, if we're successful in the fractional CFO world, we kind of work ourselves out of a job and it's time to hire somebody, you know, somebody full-time and have a full-time finance function. So it's about growth and trajectory. Most of the companies that I work with have done some, you know, some huge level of growth, double, triple, you know, adding acquisitions, et cetera. So I think going through those types of things without somebody who is a financial partner really is just dangerous. You know, doing your own diligence, doing your own accounting, unless you are an accountant, obviously, then a little more safe.
So one of the that brings me right to my next question, and that is, what are some of the mistakes that you see made that would be much less likely if they had a CFO with them earlier in the process?
So I think one of the big ones that might be germane to your audience specifically is kind of that cash out perspective. So, you know, at some point you're going to want to do something with your business besides just run it forever. You'll want to retire, you'll want to sell, you'll want to give your children, whatever it is. And, you know, ultimately there's a lot of companies out there, there's a lot of coaches, a lot of people out there that will help you take that last step. So, you know, 12, 18 months in advance of that, you want to kind of polish it off and make it nice. I believe that having somebody on the finance side throughout that 1 to 100 years of running the company, though, makes an entirely different effort into that last space. Somebody that's been looking at sales, you know, for those 25, 30 years, whatever it is that you run your company, somebody that's actually helping you build a budget every year, holding you accountable, strategic thinking, all of the things that we would do every single year of that 25 or 30 years make that company much more valuable than just running it kind of in a without finance help and then trying to cash out at the last minute.
So you actually listed a couple of things in there, and I'm wondering if you could dive in or just kind of summarize it for us. But what should an entrepreneur expect from their CFO?
A fractional CFO
in particular.
Great question. And the good news is they should expect the same thing from their regular CFO. You know, in my opinion, there's no difference between doing this fractionally and doing it, wholeheartedly, I guess. What would the right word be?
Full time.
Yeah, that's a good word. What they should expect is a partner where they can discuss financial things. You know, you want to call that person whenever you're thinking about making a decision. You want to involve them within the executive kind of level function, strategy meetings, et cetera. You know, that person's going to be their partner. What they should expect from an operational perspective is that they understand the business and can do the proper accounting, build systems, all of the things that they have to keep that finance department running. But the two main functions are to run the finance department and to bring that finance perspective into the C-suite and teach, coach, educate people on what finance is within that C-suite group.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, what are some things that you shouldn't expect to see a CFO to do?
Part of what happens in smaller businesses is that the CFO, you know, they bring in the CFO and they have to do kind of menial tasks or transactional work in order to fill their time. It's one of the reasons that our industry, I think, exists in this fractional space, because we can supervise that and spend less hours. You shouldn't expect your CFO to do things without you, right? This is a partner that's going to talk to you about things, making decisions together. I don't think you can just pass the potato and just have that person kind of operate without your input. So it does have to be a partnership. And then I would expect that people would want to hire a CFO to do CFO stuff and not, talk about things. One of our clients specifically just enjoys talking about these little tiny transactions. You know, why did we put this into that expense versus this expense? And to me, we operate as far from that decimal place as possible. We're trying to get big decisions made and understand what that is. If we have bookkeeping questions, you know, let's or the bookkeeper.
Yeah, very good. So here's a question for you. I like to ask all my guests, and it's this: what is the biggest secret you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing that you wish every founder, entrepreneur, leader out there listening today knew?
I think Ultimately, in the U.S., especially, our industry is entirely a secret. So I wish people really knew that the service existed. I've said it before. I've never received a call, literally never received a call from an entrepreneur that said, I was thinking of hiring a fractional CFO. And, you know, I wanted to talk to you about that. It's really, I receive calls from recruiters, banks, insurance people, other CPAs that don't have the fractional CFO service. And they say, I have a client that's in trouble. And that's how I get introduced to that. And it's usually a mess. You know, there's a reason that they've had to come to the service. But I wish people knew that it was available, that you could have somebody part-time, you know, to really be a strategic partner.
Yeah. One of the things that I love about the role, at least most of the folks that I've seen that have done a great job with the role, and I hear this in some of what you're saying, is you don't necessarily have to wait until everything's great to get the benefit from a CFO. It's, you know, if anything, you want to start before it becomes a problem. But once there's a problem, don't let that delay the decision further. Bring them in as soon as you can. Bring someone in to help clean up and correct things before it gets too ugly. I have seen so many founders who have gotten into that mode, thought about it a little bit, like, oh no, you know, either it'll go away or it'll get better or something will magically correct itself. And I've seen them get into some pretty big trouble doing it that way. So I would agree. I think it's a fantastic service, especially with folks who know how to get the most out of that time and those roles and can follow along the guide that you laid out for us so far today. One more question for you here. And I'm going to turn things around a little bit. You've been in the fractional CFO role here for a little while. I want you to take that hat off, put on your CEO hat and talk to us. What's the next stage of growth look like for you and your business?
So it's been interesting. It's been 4 years or so now, almost 4 years. Of being out and I literally up until last September, so 6-7 months ago, had not done any marketing at all. Literally everything came through referral and we're just kind of going crazy because there was so much work to do for just the few of us. So adding more infrastructure, I've actually built out kind of a marketing function and information function for entrepreneurs, YouTube channel, all that type of structure to try and educate people on the need for it. But for me, it really is just about scaling that. So adding CFOs, experienced CFOs specifically, and adding clients within that proportion so that we continue to service those clients. It's about Michael King, one of the coaches within our space, kind of tossed out some numbers the other day that I think I agree with. I said about 11,000 current and active fractional CFO firms or fractional CFOs in the United States. And there's about 33 million businesses that he estimates don't have CFOs or finance. So there really is, it's a little bit nuts. Most of those people within that space are CPAs who are getting into that space because they have the financial acumen to provide those services. I have a little bit of a different take on that. I want to have experienced CFOs who have run companies who are operational in nature, you know, who've been in that C-suite and can make those executive decisions. One of the things I say all the time is a calm sea never made a good captain. So I want somebody that's been through a few storms before and understands so that when that entrepreneur says, you know, we've got this problem or that problem, yeah, there's no problem. We've been through that before, and here's what we do. We learn together how to you know, to steer into that storm.
Yeah, that's powerful. Well, John, thank you so much for being here. Before I let you go, gotta know, how can folks get in touch with you and learn more about your services?
Well, the website is always the best way. It's PPS, as in People Process Systems, ppsfinance.com. And my email is John, J-O-H-N, at ppsfinance.com. So super easy.
Fantastic. All right. Well, you heard it. If you are one of the, what would that be, 32,899,000 or whatever that is, 89,000 who does not have a fractional CFO, you can see what a competitive advantage this is. It may not be your first item of strategies, but having been around companies who've been able to take advantage of a fractional CFO, it is a game changer for sure. So I'd highly recommend it. Head on over to PPS Finances. Give us that URL one more time. Yeah, yes, as well, right. finance.com. Excellent. Meet with John and his team. You're going to find a ton of great resources there and a ton of help where you need it most. John, thanks so much for being here. It's a pleasure having you. And for everyone watching and listening, you know your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did, and I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care.
Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast. If you are a successful coach, consultant, or advisor who's built a strong book of business and would like to be on the program, please visit go.scalearchitects.com. And if you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media and just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials? If you know someone who'd be a great guest, you can tag them on social media to let them know about the show. And make sure you include the hashtag #HighDemandCoaching. I love seeing your posts. I love seeing your guest suggestions. Thank you so much. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any of those episodes, go ahead and subscribe now. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, they go a long way to help us promote the show, and they mean a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, you can go to our website, www.scalearchitects.com, or you can follow me or the company on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.